朋友们。
Friends.
今天我们聊一段 AI 往事。
Today, we're going to talk about some AI history.
1969年，一本只有258页的书出版了。
In 1969, a book with 258 pages was published.
这本书叫《感知机》。
This book is called Perception.
封面很朴素。
The cover is simple.
白底黑字，两个 MIT 教授写的。
Written by two MIT professors in black and white.
但这本书一出版，就像一颗核弹在 AI 领域爆炸了。
But this book was like a nuclear bomb in the field of AI.
他用严密的数学证明。
He used rigorous mathematical proofs.
直接宣告了当时最热门的 AI 研究方向是条死路。
Directly declared that the most popular AI research direction at the time was a dead end.
接下来整整十几年。
In the following two decades,
几乎没有一篇神经网络的论文。
There are almost no papers on neural networks.
能在主流学术期刊上发表。美国军方把研究经费砍得一干二净。
The US military cuts research funding to nothing.
大学不再招这个方向的教授，研究生被导师反复警告。
The university repeatedly warned the professor not to recruit graduate students in this field.
想毕业就别碰神经网络。
If you want to graduate, don't touch neural networks.
整个 AI 领域进入了一个长达十几年的冰河期。
The entire AI field has entered a period of stagnation lasting over a decade.
史称第一个 AI 冬天，而且
The first AI winter is named after it.
写这本书的人叫马文·明斯基 ，AI 领域的创始人之一。1970年图灵奖得主 ,MIT 人工智能实验室的缔造者。
The author is one of the founders of the AI field, a Turing Award winner, and the creator of the MIT Artificial Intelligence Laboratory.
更让人感慨的是
What's even more remarkable is,
这本书的扉页上写着一行字，献给弗兰克·罗森·布拉特。
The title page of this book has a line of text dedicated to Frank Rosenblatt.
罗森·布拉特是谁？
Who is Sven Brat?
他是感知机的发明者。
He is the inventor of the perceptron.
是明斯基在布朗克斯科学高中的同窗。
American military.
也是这本书真正埋葬的那个人。
This is the person who truly buried the book.
这个故事的核心其实特别简单。
The core of this story is actually very simple.
两个天才，从同窗到对手，最后一个人写了一本书。
Two geniuses from classmates to rivals wrote a book about the last one.
杀死了另一个人的毕生事业。
Destroyed another person's life's work.
而真相在几十年后才浮出水面，那个被杀死的人其实是对的。
The truth only surfaced decades later, revealing that the person who was killed was actually right.
上期我们讲了罗森布拉特在1958年发明了感知机。
In the previous episode, we talked about how Rosenblatt invented the perceptron in 1958.
那是一台巨大的机器。
It was a huge machine.
由400个光电传感器组成。
Composed of 400 photoelectric sensors,
像个笨重的衣柜
like a bulky wardrobe,
但他能自己学习
but he can learn independently.
给他看几张打了标记的图片
show him a few marked images.
他就能自己调整内部的连接权重
he can adjust the internal connection weights by himself.
然后准确识别出新图片
And accurately identify the new image.
人类历史上第一次，一台机器没有通过程序指令。
The first vending machine in human history did not use program instructions.
而是通过经验来学习。
Instead, they learned through experience.
当时的《纽约时报》用了一个轰动性的标题。
The New York Times used a sensational headline at the time.
美国海军刚刚发明了一台能走路。
The U.S. Navy has just invented a walking machine.
能说话。
Able to speak.
能看，能写字。
Can read and write.
能自我复制。
Can self-replicate.
并且能意识到自己存在的机器。
And machines that are aware of their own existence.
纽约客也闻讯赶来。
New York Magazine also heard the news and rushed over.
写了一篇长文，预测。
I wrote a long article predicting.
感知机将开启真正的智能时代。
Perception machines will usher in the true era of intelligence.
罗森布拉特本人也毫不谦虚。
Rosenblatt is also very modest.
记者发布会上。
Reporter at a press conference.
他说
He said,
感知机是第一台有能力产生原创思想的机器。
The computer is the first machine that is capable of producing original thoughts.
他告诉全世界，这个方向。
He told the world this direction.
只需要再给几年时间。
Just give it a few more years.
机器就能达到和人类相当的智能水平。
Machines can achieve intelligence levels comparable to humans.
整个六十年代初
In the early 1960s,
神经网络是 AI 界最炙手可热的明星。
Neural networks are the hottest stars in the field of AI.
各大高校纷纷成立神经网络实验室。
Major universities have established neural network laboratories.
军方大把大把地投钱。
The military has a lot of low-end claps.
报纸。
Newspaper.
杂志连篇累牍地渲染机器智能的未来。
The magazine relentlessly promoted the future of intelligent machines.
所有人都在说。
Everyone is saying.
我们马上就要造出会思考的机器了。
We are about to build machines that can think.
但有一个人。从一开始就不信，明斯基。
But one person didn't believe in Minsky from the beginning.
明斯基和罗森布拉特的关系是 AI 历史上最戏剧性的一对。
The relationship between Minsk and Rosenblatt is the most dramatic in AI history.
他们都在纽约、新罗、谢尔长大，都进了美国最顶尖的公立高中。
They all grew up in New Rochelle, New York, and attended the most prestigious public high schools in the United States.
布朗克斯科学高中
Bronx Science High School.
这所学校后来走出了八位诺贝尔奖得主，明斯基比罗森布拉特第一个年级。
This school later produced eight Nobel laureates, including Minsky, Bill Rawson, and the first class of Bratt.
两个数学和科学天才在走廊上擦肩而过。
Two math and science geniuses brushed shoulders in the hallway.
在同一个实验室里做过实验。
Experiments were conducted in the same laboratory.
也许还在食堂里争论过什么问题。
Maybe they were still arguing about something in the cafeteria.
没人知道他们高中时关系到底怎么样。
No one knows how they were in high school.
但可以肯定的是
But it can be said with certainty that
他们后来走向了完全相反的方向
They later took a completely opposite course
罗森布拉特去了康奈尔学的是心理学和神经科学
Rosenblatt studied psychology and neuroscience at Cornell
他的思维路径特别直白
His thinking is very straightforward
如果我们想造出智能机器
If we want to build intelligent machines,
为什么不直接抄大脑的结构?
Why not directly copy the structure of the brain?
大脑由神经元组成。
The brain is composed of neurons.
神经元之间通过突触连接学习。
Neurons learn through synaptic connections.
也就是调整这些连接强度。
Adjust these connections.
那我们就用电子元件来模拟神经元。
Then we will use electronic components to simulate neurons.
用可变电阻来模拟突触。
Using variable resistors to simulate synapses.
让机器像大脑一样。
Make machines like brains.
从经验中学习。
Learn from experience.
明斯基走的则是完全不同的路。
Minsky took a completely different path.
他去了哈佛。
He went to Harvard.
后来又去普林斯顿，研究的是数学和逻辑。
Later, I went to Princeton to study mathematics and logic.
他的信念是，智能的本质是符号运算和逻辑推理。
His belief is that the essence of intelligence is symbol manipulation and logical reasoning.
要想让机器变聪明，
To make machines smarter,
你得给它规则，给它知识库。
You need to give him rules and a knowledge base.
让他像数学家证明定理一样。
Let him be like a mathematician proving the theorem.
一步一步推导。
Step by step derivation.
在他看来，
In his view,
罗森布拉特那个靠调整一堆数字来学习的小玩意。
Rosenblatt's perceptron, which uses a set of adjustable numbers to learn,
不叫智能。
Don't call it smart.
叫工程上的投机取巧。
Call it engineering trickery.
这两种哲学的对立是整个 AI 历史上最根本的分歧。
The opposition between these two philosophies is the most fundamental division in the entire history of AI.
罗森布拉特想造一个数字大脑。
Rosenblatt wants to build a digital brain.
明斯基想造一个数字哲学家。
Minsky wanted to create a digital philosopher.
这俩能不打吗？
Can't they just not fight?
在六十年代的各种学术会议上。
At various academic conferences in the 1960s,
两个人的正面交锋成了保留节目。
The head-to-head confrontation between the two became a preserved program.
当时在康奈尔读博士的查尔斯·塔伯特。
Charles Tabor was studying for his doctorate at Cornell University at the time.
后来回忆说。
Later, when recalling,
看罗森布拉特和明斯基在台上争吵
Watch Rose and Ming argue on stage
简直令人头皮发麻
Absolutely terrifying
罗森布拉特会激动地挥舞着手臂
Rosenthal will excitedly wave his arms
宣称感知机很快就能识别任何物体
Declare that the perception machine can quickly identify any object
能理解自然语言能自我净化
Can understand natural language, can self-clean.
然后明斯基会冷静地站起来。
Then, Mingxi will calmly stand up.
一条一条地反驳，指出实验数据里的漏洞，证明感知机连最基础的逻辑运算都有问题。
One after another, the rebuttals pointed out the flaws in the experimental data, proving that the perceptron even had problems with the most basic logical operations.
台下的学生和教授看得目瞪口呆。
The students and professors in the classroom were stunned.
那是两种世界观。
That's two different worldviews.
在肉搏。
Vulnerability.
需要说明的是。
It should be noted that,
虽然他们在学术上是死敌
although they were academic rivals,
但私下里关系其实还行
but privately, the relationship is still okay.
维基百科上记载
according to Wikipedia,
他们虽然公开激烈辩论
although they publicly and fiercely debated,
但保持了友好关系
but maintained a friendly relationship.
这也是这个故事最让我唏嘘的地方。
This is also the most touching part of the story.
明斯基后来写感知机。
Minsky later wrote perceptrons.
从书名到扉页的献词都在向罗森布拉特致敬。
The dedication from book title to Fibi all praises Rosenthal.
他并不是出于私人恩怨去攻击感知机。
He wasn't attacking the sensors out of personal grudges.
他是真心实意的
He is genuine.
认为这条路在科学上走不通。
I think this road is scientifically untenable.
他觉得自己是在帮老同学纠正一个错误。
He felt that he was helping an old classmate correct a mistake.
但善意不等于没有伤害。
But goodwill does not mean no debate.
1969年
1969
明斯基和他在 MIT 的同事西摩·佩伯特一起出版了他们酝酿多年的著作《感知机》。
Minsky and his MIT colleague Seymour Papert co-authored the book Perceptrons.
计算几何学导论，明斯基后来开了个玩笑。
Computer and Science Introduction, Mings later joked.
把这本书比作洛夫克拉夫特小说里的死灵之书。
Compare this book to the Necronomicon in Lovecraft's novels.
一本传说中威力无穷。
A legendary and powerful.
但没几个人真正读过的禁忌之书。
But few people have truly read the forbidden books.
这个玩笑挺有意思的。
This joke is quite interesting.
但玩笑背后是真实的杀伤力。
But behind the joke is real danger.
这本书的核心论证到底是什么呢？
What is the core argument of this book?
明斯基和佩伯特严格定义了什么是感知机。
Minsky and Papert strictly defined what a perceptron is.
他们的分析聚焦在一种特定类型的感知机上。
Their analysis focuses on a specific type of perceptron.
也就是只有单层计算单元。
That is only a single layer computing unit.
且每个隐藏层单元只能连接输入层的一个局部区域的受限感知机。
Furthermore, each hidden layer unit can only connect to a restricted region of the input layer's receptive field.
然后他们用数学证明。
Then they used mathematical proofs.
在这种设定下
In this setting,
单层感知机无法解决异惑问题。
Single layer perceptron cannot solve the problem of overfitting.
异惑就是当两个输入一
Confusion is when two inputs are given.
一个为真
One is true.
一个为假的时候输出为真，其他情况输。
A function that returns true when the input is a lie and false otherwise.
输出为假。
The output is incorrect.
对人来说。
For people.
幼儿园级别的逻辑。
Nursery level logic.
但对单层感知机来说。
However, for a single perceptron,
在数学上就是学不会。接着
，In mathematics, it's just something you can't learn.
他们继续深入，证明了更多复杂问题是单层感知机无法处理的奇偶校验，判断输入图案里亮起的像素是奇数还是偶数。
They continue to demonstrate that more complex problems, such as determining whether a pattern of illuminated pixels in a parity check input is odd or even, are beyond the capabilities of single-layer perceptrons.
连通性，判断一个图案是一个整体。
Determine whether a pattern is a whole.
还是分裂成了几块。
It was divided into several pieces.
这些都是人类视觉系统瞬间就能完成的基本操作。
These are all basic operations that the human visual system can perform instantaneously.
但单层感知机统统做不了。
But all single-layer perceptrons cannot do it.
然后是这本书最致命的一击。
Then came the most devastating blow of the book.
他们承认多层网络。
They admit multi-layered networks.
在理论上可以克服单层感知机的限制。
Can overcome the limitations of single-layer perceptrons in theory.
是的。
Yes.
他们自己承认了。罗森布拉特本人在1962年的书里就已经证明了这一点。
They themselves admitted that Rosenblatt had already proven this in his book in 1962.
但明斯基和佩伯特加了一句话
But Minsky and Papert added a sentence.
就是这句话很可能改变了整个 AI 历史的走向。
This sentence is likely to have changed the course of AI history.
他们说
They said,
目前没有任何已知的方法
Currently, there are no known methods.
可以高效训练多层网络
Can efficiently train multi-layer networks.
你体会一下这句话的杀伤力。
Feel the impact of these sentences.
既然你不知道怎么训练它
Since you don't know how to train,
那这条路
This road
现在就是走不通的
Now it's impossible to go through.
就应该放弃
Should give up.
不是理论上不行
It's not impossible.
是工程上做不出来
It's impossible to do in engineering.
但听到这句话的人
But those who heard this sentence,
不管是管经费的官员
whether it's the officials in charge of the budget,
还是招教授的高校
still, it's a university with a professor,
还是选方向的博士生
still a doctoral student in the field,
他们理解的都一样
they all understand it.
神经网络死路一条后面发生的事可以说是一连串的多米诺骨牌
Once a neural network goes wrong, it can trigger a chain reaction like a row of dominoes falling.
当时 AI 研究最大的金主是美国国防部高级研究计划局 DARPA。这本书出来后
At the time, the largest source of funding for AI research was the U.S. Department of Defense's Advanced Research Projects Agency, DARPA. After this book came out,
DARPA 的结论简单粗暴。
The conclusion of DARPA is simple and direct.
神经网络不行。
The great internet is down.
钱要投在能出成果的地方。
Invest in places that can generate results.
于是
Sell.
资金大规模从神经网络转向了符号 AI, 专家系统逻辑
Massive funding is shifting from neural networks to expert systems based on symbolic AI logic.
编程
Programming
知识库
Knowledge base
这些成了新宠儿大学教授的招聘
These have become the new favorites for university professors' recruitment.
停止了神经网络方向
Stop the neural network direction.
学术期刊开始拒绝神经网络论文。
Academic journals began to reject neural network papers.
理由是
The reason is that
这个方向已经被证明没有前途了。
This direction has been proven to be fruitless.
博士生被导师明确告知
The PhD student was explicitly told by his advisor
别碰，碰了就毕不了业。
Don't touch it, or you won't graduate.
这不是比喻。
This is not a metaphor.
这是无数真实人生的写照。
This is a reflection of countless real lives.
今天我们都知道。
Today, we all know that.
2000年代之后。
After the 2000s.
深度学习爆发神经网络相关的论文。
Deep learning has exploded, and there are many papers related to neural networks.
每年以万篇为单位在增长。
Every year, the number of pages increases by 10,000.
但在整个70年代
In the entire 1970s,
从1969到1980年发表在主流 AI 期刊上的神经网络论文加起来也凑不满一只手的手指。
From 1969 to 1980, the number of neural network papers published in mainstream AI journals did not even reach a dozen.
整整一代研究者被拦在了这个领域之外。
An entire generation of researchers has been excluded from this field.
但即使在最黑暗的年代
But even in the darkest of times,
还是有少数人没有放弃。
Still, there are a few who haven't given up.
在芬兰
In Finland,
戴沃科
Darvo,
科霍宁独自研究着自组织映射网络。
Honing was studying self-organizing mapping networks on his own.
在日本
In Japan,
甘利俊一默默推进着神经网络的数学理论。
And Lai Jun quietly advanced the mathematical theory of neural networks.
在美国
In Japan,
詹姆斯·安德森、斯蒂芬·格
James Anderson, Stephen,
格罗斯伯格，还有后来的约翰· 霍普菲尔德
Rosenberg and later John Hopfield.
他们像地下抵抗组织一样
They were like an underground resistance organization.
在主流视野之外
Outside the mainstream.
坚持着用其他项目的经费掩护神经网络研究，把论文发在不起眼的期刊上。
Cover up neural network research with funds from other projects and publish papers in inconspicuous journals.
有些甚至直接压在抽屉里。
Some even directly pressed inside the drawer.
不发表，他们不是在等春天。
They are not waiting for spring.
他们只是不相信这道题真的无解。
They just don't believe that this problem is truly unsolvable.
而罗森布拉特本人没有等到春天。感知机出版。
Rosenblatt himself did not wait until spring to publish the book.
两年后。
2 years later.
1971年7月11日。
July 11, 1971.
罗森布拉特在切萨皮克湾驾驶一艘名为清水号的单桅帆船时发生意外。溺水身亡。
Rosenblatt drowned while sailing a single-hull sailboat named Clearwater in Chesapeake Bay.
那天正好是他43岁的生日，事故的具体经过。
That day was his 43rd birthday, and the accident happened on that day.
至今没有定论。
There is no definitive conclusion yet.
有人说就是普通的航海意外。
Some say it's just a common maritime accident.
也有人暗示他选择了一种体面的方式结束生命。
Some people also hinted that he chose a dignified way to end his life.
无论真相是什么。
No matter what the truth is.
一个曾经登上纽约时报头版。
A once featured story on the New York Times front page.
站在全世界聚光灯下的天才。
The genius who stood in the spotlight of the world.
就这样。
That's it.
在最寒冷的冬天里。
In the coldest winter.
永远地离开了。43岁。
Forever left behind at 43.
在他生日那天。
On his birthday.
更让人心酸的是。
What's even more heartbreaking is.
他死前的研究。
His research before his death.
在感知机被感知机这本书判了死刑之后
After the machine was sentenced to death by the machine
他的研究方向彻底偏离了计算机科学
His research direction has completely deviated from computer science
他开始做记忆
He started to make memories
转移实验
Transfer experiment
把受过电击训练的大鼠的大脑提取物
Brain extracts from mice trained with motor tasks.
注射进未受训练的大鼠体内，观察。
Observe in mice that have not been trained.
他们是否会习得对电击的恐惧
？Will they learn to fear electric shocks?
一个曾经想用数学和电子工程重建人类智慧的天才。
A genius who once wanted to rebuild human intelligence using mathematics and electrical engineering.
最后被迫退回到了最原始的生物化学方法上。
Finally, they were forced to return to the most primitive biochemical methods.
他变成了自己领域的局外人。明斯基呢
？He became an outsider in his field, just like Minsky.
他在1970年获得图灵奖，计算机科学界的最高荣誉。
In 1970, he won the Turing Award, the highest honor in the field of computer science.
他建立的 MIT 人工智能实验室成了符号 AI 的圣殿，无数。
His newly established MI Artificial Intelligence Laboratory became a sacred place for countless symbols of AI.
后来改变世界的研究。
Later research on changing the world.
从这里诞生，终其一生。
From here, life begins.
他都是 AI 界最受尊敬的名字之一。
He is one of the most respected names in the AI field.
但有一件事。
But there is one thing.
他始终没有改变，他对神经网络的怀疑。
He has never changed his skepticism about neural networks.
即使到了90年代后期。
even in the late 1990s.
即使在2006年深度学习这个词被辛顿重新激活的时候，
even when the term deep learning was reactivated by Sturwood in 2006.
即使在 GPU 算力已经开始爆发的时代，
even in the era when GPU computing power has begun to explode.
年迈的明斯基依然在公开场合表达对神经网络路线的质疑。
The elderly Minsky still expressed his doubts about the neural network approach in public.
他从头到尾都没有被说服。
He was never convinced.
但历史的天平最终还是倾斜了。
But history's scales eventually tilted.
1986年。
1986.
大卫·鲁梅尔。
David Rummel.
哈特。杰夫。
Art.
杰弗里·辛顿和罗纳德·威廉姆斯发表了一篇划时代的论文。
Frissington and Ronald Williams published a groundbreaking paper.
他们提出了一种叫反向传播的算法。
They proposed an algorithm called backpropagation.
完美解决了明斯基和佩伯特。
Perfectly solved Minkowski and Pepper.
1969年提出的那个难题。
The problem posed in 1969.
怎么训练多层网络？这个算法的思路其实不复杂。
The algorithm's idea for training multi-layer networks is actually not complicated.
网络先做一个预测。
First, make a prediction on the internet.
然后算一下预测和正确答案之间的误差。
Then calculate the error between the predicted and correct answers.
再把这个误差从输出层一层一层往回传。
Then propagate this error back from the output layer, layer by layer.
根据误差的大小来调整每一层的连接权重，说白了吧。
Based on the size of the error, adjust the connection weights of each layer. This is a well-known method.
就是让网络看到自己哪里错了。
Let the internet see where you're wrong.
然后自己去改，反向传播的发表。
Then modify the backpropagation algorithm yourself.
像医生春雷，唤醒了整个冬眠的神经网络领域。
Woke up the entire winter sleep neural network field.
经费重新涌入，论文开始井喷，教授岗位。
Funding is pouring in, and the number of papers published by professors is surging.
重新开放。
Reopen.
明斯基和佩伯特在书中写的每一个技术性判断都被逐一推翻。
Every technical judgment written by Minsk and Pepper in the book has been refuted one by one.
进入21世纪之后，
After entering the 21st century,
故事的发展速度快到令人窒息。
The pace of the story is so fast that it's breathless.
2006年，
2006
辛顿发表深度信念网络论文。
Sinus published a deep belief network paper.
重新点燃了深度学习的热潮。
Perfectly ignited the deep learning craze.
2012年。
In 2012,
辛顿的两个学生亚历克斯·克里泽夫斯基和伊利亚·苏斯克维尔用 GPU 训练的深度卷积神经网络。
Two students, Alex Krzyzewski.And Ilya Suzek used a GPU-trained deep convolutional neural network.
在 ImageNet 图像识别大赛上碾压了所有传统方法。
Dominated all traditional methods in the ImageNet image recognition competition.
性能提升。
Performance improvement.
不是百分之几，是直接翻倍。
It's not a percentage, it's a direct doubling.
从那以后，深度学习像脱缰的野马一样狂飙突进。
Since then, deep learning has been galloping wildly like a runaway horse.
图像识别。
Image recognition.
语音识别。
Speech recognition.
机器翻译。
Machine translation.
自动驾驶。
Autonomous driving.
AlphaGo 击败李世石 ，ChatGPT 横空出世。
AlphaGo defeats Lee Sedol. ChatGPT emerges.
每一个里程碑背后站着的都是多层神经网络。
Behind every milestone stands a multi-layered neural network.
罗森布拉特在1958年设想的那个能看、能说、能自己学习的机器，终于在50年后变成了现实。
The machine that Rosenblatt envisioned in 1958, which could see, speak, and learn on its own, has finally become a reality 50 years later.
他当年的核心算法思路，至今仍然是训练深度学习模型的基础。
His core algorithm idea from that year is still the basis for training deep learning models today.
在康奈尔大学，一块纪念牌上写着弗兰克·罗森布拉特发明了感知机，奠定了深度学习的基础。
On a plaque at Cornell University, it is written that Frank Rosenblatt invented the perceptron, which is the core of the learning foundation.
明斯基在书中写的每一个限制都被突破了。
In the book, every restriction written by Minsky is broken.
而罗森布拉特当年的每一个预言都被兑现了。
And every prediction made by Rosenblatt came true.
这段历史到底告诉我们什么呢？
What does this history tell us?
我觉得首先是这一点。
I think the first point is this.
用当下的工程能力去宣判一个理论方向的死刑。
To declare a theoretical direction as dead based on the current engineering capabilities.
是科学中最危险的自负。
It is the most dangerous character in science.
明斯基1969年说，找不到训练多层网络的方法。
Minsky in 1969 said that there was no way to train multi-layer neural networks.
十几年后就被找到了。
Found after 14 years.
你今天找不到解法。
You can't find the solution today.
不等于这个解法不存在。
Not equal to the solution does not exist.
其次是学术权威的影响力。
Secondly, the influence of academic authority.
你是一把双刃剑。
It is a double-edged sword.
坦率地讲，明斯基不是一个坏人。
To be honest, Zelensky is not a bad person.
他没有恶意。
He didn't have any malice.
他是在用他所相信的科学方法。
He was using the scientific method he believed in.
捍卫学术标准。
Defend academic standards.
但他的权威地位和他直白的否定。
But his authority and his blunt denial.
造成了长达十几年的资源错配和人才流失。一个领域最聪明的人。
The most brilliant person in a field who has caused a decade-long resource misallocation and talent outflow.
有时候也会犯这个领域最大的错误。
Sometimes the biggest mistake in this field is made.
最后也是我觉得最重要的一点，被全世界否定。
The most important thing, and the one I feel most strongly about, is that I was denied by the whole world.
不等于你就是错的。
It doesn't mean you're wrong.
有时候你不是走在一条错误的路上。
Sometimes you're not on the wrong path.
你只是早了二十年。
You've only been gone for 20 years.
但二十年太长了。
But 20 years is too long.
长到一个天才看不到春天的到来。
A genius grew to a height that he couldn't see the coming of spring.
长到真相。
Find the truth.
只能在下一代人手中重见天日。
It can only be seen again in the hands of the next generation.
罗森布拉特死后47年。
Rosenblatt has been dead for 7 years.
2018年。
2018.
计算机科学界最重要的奖项。
The most important award in the field of computer science.
图灵奖颁给了三位深度学习先驱，约书亚、本吉奥、杰弗里·辛顿和杨立坤。
The Turing Award was awarded to three pioneers of deep learning, Joshua Benioff, Christopher Hinton, and Yang Liu.
在颁奖词里。
In the award speech,
他们被表彰为让神经网络从寒冬走向复兴的人。
They were recognized as the people who brought neural networks back to life after a period of decline.
罗森布拉特的名字没有被列在获奖名单上。
Rosenblatt's name was not listed on the award list.
但站在斯德哥尔摩领奖台上的每一个人都知道。
But everyone standing on the podium in Stockholm knew.
如果没有那个在1971年7月11日
Without that one on July 11, 1971,
死于海难的43岁心理学家
The 43-year-old psychologist who died in a shipwreck.
他们所复兴的一切根本就不会存在。好了 ,AI 往事。
They have revived everything, and now it's all gone. Beyond the past.
是，我们下期继续。
We will continue next time.